Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sicklin. We're Sicklin and Everett. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers. We're going to jump right into it.
We're going really fast. Let's just talk really fast this whole episode and see if anybody
knows. Okay. I can't do this. That was really stressful for like the 15 seconds that we tried
to do that. Speaking of other stressful things, you have a bone to pick with James Wan, I believe.
Not really with James Wan in particular.
Well, then I'll leave.
Just the Mortal Kombat, the whole thing. I don't know. So, like, you know, Mortal Kombat, James Wan is making a Mortal Kombat. I can't even remember, to be honest with you,
like
if he's directing
or producing.
Like, a real
one? Like, he's, like, having people fight?
Oh, man, I wish. That'd be awesome. But
that would be kind of cool.
I have all the faith in the world in James Wan being able to pull this off, and I don't think that he has to fit into the mold of what I wish it would be for it to be good, but I can't help but think about the super disappointing, terrible YouTube adaptation that came out that was essentially funded... based off of, like, a proof-of-concept video short that was made, that was also posted to YouTube, that, like, essentially took the Mortal Kombat universe and made it all realistic.
Can
like,
I say Nolanified it?
Can you say what?
Nolanified
it?
Yeah.
I like it. Okay. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Yes, he Nolan Dark Knight-ified it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. For example, like basically what's happening in the short is, you've got like Jax and Sonya, like talking to Scorpion in prison, and they're like breaking down like these profiles of these like, you know, serial killers, and like one of them's Reptile, but he's really just like this deformed cannibal with like real diseases. Like, obviously it's not, most of these diseases aren't gonna actually affect a person the way that it does in the show, but like it's just like got based in like some form of reality. And then Baraka is actually like a disgraced plastic surgeon who performs surgery on himself to give him the blades in his arms. when they show him in the video, he fights Johnny Cage, and like Baraka looks sweet. Like, he's got like all of these like crazy protrusions like out of his arms and his face, and like he has this really cool fighting style. I always forget what it's called, but it's that South American fighting style that's like sort of breakdance fighting.
Oh, I forgot. I always forget what it's called too.
Yeah, but that. And like, I don't know, it's really cool. And I thought that would be so cool. And then like, they got funding for it, and you're like, oh, sweet, they're going to make this. And then like, half of the episodes were like cartoons and like really poorly animated cartoons. And what?
Capoeira.
What's a capoeira? Oh, that's the style. Sorry. Answer. Okay. Got it. Okay. Got it.
It took me a second to look it up. Sorry.
it was like super high fantasy. Like, it went in the complete opposite direction of what the concept did. And like, I was super disappointed and stopped watching it. And it may have even come around to being more realistic, but it had already lost me. I was like, this is dumb. This is just like low end. Some kid made this for a high school project animation.
Yeah.
And really crappy story. So anyways, I was really hoping, in my heart of hearts, that James Wan would have made that pseudo-realistic style.
He still
style.
Can, just to be clear.
He
like,
still could.
There's no,
he still
nothing
could.
Saying he's not going to do that, but this is the direction that Sickle wants it to go.
It is. And I feel like the only thing that tells me that it probably won't be the case is that most, if not all, of James Wan's horror is supernatural. Okay. So I feel like it may be more in his wheelhouse to like pursue Mortal Kombat more in its true form than in this like pseudo-realistic form. But either way, I'm pretty excited about it because I do like James Wan.
I think there could be a cool mix there where, like, you know, Reptile's still a cannibal and Baraka's still a plastic surgeon, but you also have, like, you know, the guy with forearms.
You still have Goro coming out. And,
yeah,
like,
and he's,
form,
like,
yeah.
He's like, so, yeah, maybe he's, like, somebody who's, like, kind of some homunculus or something, whether that be, like, you know, somebody's surgery, like, Human Centipede or somebody who's, like, magical. And then, you, like, some of the other characters, you, like, Sub-Zero, that was, like, one who was kind of, like, a mix between Mr. Freeze and, you know, whatever Sub-Zero is. But, like, I think you could do a really cool mix where, like, even though it's magic, it's still really messed up, you know?
It's still kind of, like, somewhat grounded, like...
I mean, maybe, but, yeah, like, I mean, there might just be people who are fighting against, like, crazy beings, you know? I'm never opposed to that, but it can still be, like, really crazy, and like, I don't know, semi-grounded, I guess, without being, the traditional Mortal Kombat movies.
Yeah, I guess I mean in, like, the sense that it'd be awesome if it was, not, like, super intense high fantasy in the sense that, like, they're traveling dimensions and blah, blah, blah. It's, like, it's just a little bit more, like, Bloodsport, maybe, I guess.
That'd be cool.
Where it's just literally just people just forced to fight each other in a pit.
Like a battle royale. All right. Yeah. Well, trailer. In other news, not other news, this is a terrible transition. I guess this is one we could talk about because In the Tall Grass makes me think of Jurassic Park, which we're going to talk about later, but maybe.
Don't go into the tall grass!
Yeah. But there's a trailer out for a movie called In the Tall Grass, and it's supposedly like a story that was written by Stephen King, and I think Netflix is the ones that are doing it. And, Netflix has a decent history with Stephen King movies. I really haven't watched them, but, I mean, people like them. But this one looks cool.
Yeah, the one with Thomas Jane was pretty cool.
I actually didn't watch that one. I thought that one would, like, look like the weakest of them, but it's just only because I wasn't sure if there was, like, ghosts or something in it.
It was kind of... I mean, the overall story was kind of lame, but Thomas Jane was, like, his performance was super awesome. Oh, okay.
But In the Tall Grass is a movie about a tall grass field outside a church, and the crazy supernatural stuff that happens when you go into the grass is basically all I want to say without spoiling it too much. I guess I won't spoil anything because I haven't seen it, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, I got the impression of, like, kind of, like, Children of the Corn, but without corn, just tall grass.
Yeah, and, like, to me, as I've been listening to a lot more, like, as I get into the season, I listen to a lot more No Sleep podcasts, which you should listen to if you like horror audio. And, like, stuff like this just reminds me of, like, stories that are on there that are, like, accounts of people in real life. Like, Into the Tall Grass could definitely be one of those, like, weirder stories where, like, I went in there and I saw, like, my brother, but he was older than me, and it's like, wait, what? How did that happen? That's kind of what it seems like, too, is it's a little bit, wonky as far as time goes.
Which is, you know, wonky is just Stephen King's middle name.
Yeah, seriously.
He loves wonky.
So, I think that looks good. I'm excited for In the Tall Grass.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I mean, anything, it's pretty easy to get behind anything that you get to watch for free. Or what, you know, equates to free.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Another thing that we're excited for is a show we talked about quite a while ago. I think it was, like, one of our first episodes, maybe. But Primal, a TV show called Primal, and it's a cartoon done by the guy who did Samurai Jack, I believe.
Yes.
And so, it's about a caveman in the caveman times, finding dinosaurs.
And, like, instead of, you know, how every caveman story goes, where he befriends a wolf and we're like, oh, look, it's the beginning of man's best friend, instead he befriends, like, a raptor or something, and it's awesome.
My boy Blue.
Looks so great. Not Chris Pratt style, more like, more like we don't have a choice but to, like, you know, join sides so that we can survive, but we still kind of hate each other, but we'll kill things together so that we can live.
I think it sounds fun. I don't know what it's coming out for, though. Is it just on Adult Swim?
I have no idea. Probably. Hmm. I think that's probably the case, but I'm super stoked for it.
Yeah, hopefully I can watch it sometime.
Yeah, that it's, you know, Adult Swim, that route, getting harder and harder.
Yeah, seriously. I can't. Yeah. I don't even know what we're going to do when Rick and Morty comes out again.
I know.
So another thing we have is two Shudder shows are coming out. One of them's called The Cleansing Hour, and I think I'm going to have Sickle talk about that, because I don't know what that is.
Sure. It's another one of those movies where it's like, look, we're doing fake horror, and then it turns out that it's real. Like, one of those kinds of things. So it's like a guy that runs, like, a YouTube show called The Cleansing Hour, where he exorcises demons from people, and everything's fake. But then I guess he decides to exorcise this one girl, and he's like, just, you know, follow my lead, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, but I'm actually possessed! And then, like, you know, crazy stuff starts happening, and like, the trailer, it's like, oh, look, kind of fairly traditional in a style, or, you know, in a inside of a concept that's, like, becoming all the more familiar of, like, fake horror, but it's real. And then there's, like, these, like, crazy creature demons that pop up, and it looks like it gets pretty violent.
That sounds really
cool.
It looks
like it could be fun.
Yeah. Is it a movie or a show?
Movie.
Okay, cool. I'm down with that. There's a lot of shows coming out. And I think the only problem with shows is that it makes them a lot harder to watch because I can't just sit down once and watch it. I have to commit to, like, 7 or 8 hours of TV, which isn't a problem.
Yeah.
It's just that My small, but fan can't pay attention at all.
Yeah, it's not like it's that big of a... It's not like it's a big deal, because, like, you do get more content out of it, but it is more of a commitment, like you said. And I like that better in small doses. I prefer it to be, like, 10 movies to one show, and lately I feel like it's been more like five shows to one.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Speaking of other shows that I'm excited about, and this one I'm excited about because every time I hear about episodic horror, I think of how good Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark could have been.
Like anthologies, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about this Creepshow thing. Creepshow is coming out on Shudder as well, and it's coming out, I think, tomorrow or next week? Next week, 26th,
something
right?
Like that, yeah.
I think it's the 26th.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
Yeah, so Creepshow is being revived. There's been two or three... Is there three Creepshows? Or is there two?
Two that I know of.
But Creepshow is a pretty classic movie if you haven't seen it. It's, like, cool. It's kind of like the Twilight Zone movie if it was, like, better, I think.
Or, you know, gorier.
Yeah, gorier. Maybe that's a better way to say it. But, yeah, so I'm excited about Creepshow. I didn't get to watch a lot, and I think I'm going to binge the other two a few times and see if, you know, it's all I remember it to be. But it probably
And even though it's, like, it is technically a TV show, and we just talked about how, like, TV shows not as big of a fan at the moment, just for time's sake, it's a little bit different with that because it's more like watching mini movies.
Exactly.
You can watch one episode, they're not connected.
Yeah, and I don't have to remember the things that happened from, like, the first episode when I'm 10 episodes in. And it's like, oh, man, this is a 10-hour movie. This is really hard to watch.
Yeah. Instead, it's more like that Hulu thing, Into the Dark, mm-hmm. where you can watch each one of them separately and just enjoy it.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention here that we don't have on our little list is they came out with a trailer for... Are You Afraid of the Dark? And it's apparently like a mini-series kind of thing. It's not like a full seasoned episodic season. It's like a limited event run. Like three long episodes or something like that. And it looks really creepy for like what audience is trying to go towards, I think. Because it's like meant... I mean, Are You Afraid of the Dark is meant for younger audiences, and this one looks kind of freaky.
I think it looks pretty good, but I do feel like it falls into a similar trap as the other thing, just in the sense that, like, it could have been another anthology thing, and instead it looks like they're kind of going the route of more like Goosebumps, where we're pouring them all into one story, sort of.
Well, I think...
And having one main story involved.
Yeah, what I got from the trailer was that they told the story, that one story, and it came true. Not that there's multiple stories in one, but... I hope they go with the former, because I think it would be more interesting to tell that, but I also wonder if they're going to do more, you know, like...
I would hope so, because otherwise, what's the point of calling it Are You Afraid of the Dark if you're not going to have multiple stories?
Agreed. Alright, so that's all the new stuff we have for now. I know we're really excited personally about Creepshow and Cleansing Hour and the Tall Grass and Primal.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing that we had to talk about this week I don't think anybody cares about. That's good. And what we're going to chat about now is some shorts that we saw. So, probably the biggest one that I think everybody knows that came out is the Battle of Big Rock, which is the Jurassic Park short that came out probably on Monday or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. It's like Jurassic Park, but it's like, you know, if you've seen Fallen World, and spoilers here if you haven't, dinosaurs escape the island. Yes, that's what I meant. Fallen. Right. Fallen Jungle.
Fallen something.
Fallen Continent. The dinosaurs escape the island, Jack. And, so this is, like, the first kind of movie-esque short film of them interacting with people. So it's kind of interesting to watch. Pretty classic Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it kind of sets the stage for, like, the casual integration of dinosaurs into our modern times. And, like, it kind of pieces it together in such a way where it's like a bear attack, but just an Allosaurus instead of a bear. I don't know if it's an Allosaurus. It looked kind of like one. But
isn't that what she says? Like it,
is it what she says?
I think so.
I mean, she says that, yeah. It looks like just your ordinary bear attack, but instead of a bear showing up, it's an Allosaurus. And, like, so it's cool in that sense, but it's not really anything different. It kind of actually reminded me a lot of, like, The Lost World, the second Jurassic Park movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's the T-Rex just gets loose on L.A. or San Diego or San Diego or wherever it is.
That's right.
And you're like, oh, that's funny and kind of interesting, and that's, yeah. It just kind of felt like that, but it is a high production value, so if you haven't watched it, it is just fun to watch.
Yeah, and the cool part is, I think that Sigel mentioned this off-cast, is at the end it shows, like, weird other instances of dinosaurs affecting the world.
Yeah, which my personal favorite was a Tylosaur, I think it was a Tylosaur, I don't remember what that thing was called, but it, like, leaps out of the water and, like, eats a great white shark while the great white shark is eating something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that that was pretty good. But
yeah, so that was kind of fun. And the other one that Sickle found on the depths of the internet is called Corporate Monster, which is a pretty amazing short, I think, about, like, it basically combines, what's the right thing?
They Live.
Falling Down and They Live and Total Recall, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe just They Live, because They Live already has Total Recall overtones.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically Falling Down and They Live all in one movie, and it's a really cool short, and I think you should watch it if you haven't seen it, and it's going to go in our horror short festival this year, so.
Ooh, yeah, for sure. It's, yeah, I mean, it's definitely pretty gory. It takes it way more seriously than They Live ever does. Like, it manages to, it's kind of funny to think that it's kind of paying homage to John Carpenter and They Live, but it's not near as campy.
Mm-mm.
It's, like, super serious.
Yeah.
But they pull it off well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you haven't seen Corporate Monster yet, go check it out. It's pretty, pretty good. So let's talk about some movies we watched. Let's talk about one that you watched that's currently out on, I think I can watch it on Netflix or Amazon Prime, I'm not sure which one, but The Golem.
I think it was Netflix. Yeah, The Golem, it started out so cool, like, so interesting. It's about, like, the actual Jewish, like, mythology, the actual Jewish mythos of the Golem, how, like, you form it from inanimate objects or inanimate earth, you know, just, like, ground, sand, whatever. And, like, there's, like, there apparently is, like, there are, like, Jewish, mysticism, that's the word I'm looking for, Jewish mysticism books that are actually, like, pretty old, and, like, they could actually, like, summon stuff. It's kind of, to me, I guess it's kind of the equivalent of, like, the Catholic occult stuff, but Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they have tons of, like, occult stuff in their, in these, like, mysticism books, and, like, there are supposedly, like, historical tales of, like, rabbis throughout history that have, like, had to summon a golem to, like, protect their town and stuff, and, like, that seems like what they try to do in this one, too. And it's super interesting, and it has this dynamic of, like, this mom that lost her boy at, like, 7 or something, and so when she revives the golem, it's like a little kid, and so it's got this kind of, like, maternal instinct dynamic of it, of, like, she falls in love with the golem in the sense that, you know, it's her child, but it's not, because it's just a soulless murder machine.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all that part is cool, but you get this, like, really quick glimpse of, like, a full-size golem, like how you would picture a golem, just, like, you know, smashing people
mm-hmm.
to bits. You never see that again. Like, it's only at the very, very beginning with a different golem. And the kid just stays looking like a kid the entire movie, and his murder style is basically just telekinesis and ripping people's hearts out, which may sound interesting, but it's really not that interesting. He's just, like, standing in place and, like, puts his hand out and somebody just goes, no! And, like, you know, part of him explodes, sort of, and then it's over. I don't know. It was super lame.
Yeah.
I just would have preferred it to be, like, a golem, like, running across a field smashing people and, like, just being this giant brute, because that's kind of the way I picture it.
Or, like, going into that, right? Like, maybe there's stages or something, but sounds like it just, like, was one of those ones where it's, like, revving up and then it just, like, doesn't move. Like, it's revving in neutral.
yeah, the glimpse they give you at the beginning is really cool, and the look that you get into Jewish mysticism I thought was really interesting, but the rest of it was kind of meh.
Yeah, okay. I might check it out still, just to see. I mean, I've probably seen worse movies.
there's definitely worse out there.
I think, like,
I had to say this, it also had this really awkward score in it, where, like, it'd be this really intense music and nothing is happening on the screen.
Like,
it was the worst score I've ever heard.
Or something? Because I don't
understand. Yeah, I can't tell what you're trying to do right now. Yeah.
So, one of the movies I saw that I think Sickle has seen before is called Headcount. And it's kind of a unsuspecting movie when you find it on Prime. That's where I watched it anyway. Because it sounds, like, really, really interesting. because of what happens in like the synopsis. That's what drew me into it. And I watched it, and I had an immediate connection to this movie because of a No Sleep story I heard that has a similar kind of shapeshifter-ish thing to it about who's who and how many people are there and things like that, hence the name Headcount. You know, it's basically about this group of people that is hanging out in the desert on vacation, and they have to deal with a, like, shapeshifter that they accidentally summoned, who's, like, trying to infiltrate their ranks and kill them all because of some suicide ritual. And that sounds cool, I think. And it was cool up until, like, the very, very end, and I didn't mind the monster too much, but I thought that, like, what was happening was kind of, like, silly, and you're like, why are they doing this, and what is the purpose, and it's kind of like the Bye Bye Man, where you're like, this dude's just angry and killing people, like, what is the point here?
Yeah, I just felt like you could, it sucks when, like, I mean, no matter what, you're pretty much going to be able to tell when a movie doesn't have much of a budget, but it kind of sucks when they go too far. They're like, let's just stretch every possible penny we can, but everybody's going to be able to tell that we had no budget. So, like, yeah. I don't know, just some of the things that the monster chooses to do, supposedly, at the end, you're just like, why? Well, like, why is it doing that? Like, this is dumb. You're just trying to make it feel like things are weird and crazy, and why is this happening? But it's like, you didn't actually have the money to trash this house, so you just set things up in a weird way.
I did think that was kind of cool. I like the whole, like, Ritual of Five, like, setup thing, I guess, in hindsight, where, like, it had rearranged everything, and it had given, like, all the suicide methods already, like, kind of had them all over the house, and, like, the ones
yeah,
that
but, like,
done.
The stacking of the red Solo cups in the cabinets. Like, and we're supposed to be freaked out by that.
They were stacking
fives. It's
like,
no, it's just more like a prank. I just thought it was just...
Yeah, I do too, but, like, the whole thing is after, like, halfway through the movie, you realize five is a big deal, and I actually thought that the first part was creepier, like, the first half of the movie, when, like, the thing is trying to infiltrate their group, and it can't tell who's who, and, like, people keep showing up in two places at once, and, like, the first time they see it, when it's, like, outside the hot tub, and, like, you're, like, looking at something, and, like, I paused it, and I went towards the screen, and I was like, oh my god, like, yeah, so I thought maybe that's why I enjoyed it, is because the first half was so there, and the second half, like, was the second half, and it wasn't that good, but it was, like, I don't know. I forgave it a little bit because of the first half and because of the No Sleep story, I think.
I do agree. The first half, I did enjoy. The director had talent in his execution of, like, the cinematography of moments where, like, he'd pan across a room and you'd notice that one person actually... You think that everybody's, like, participating, but one person really isn't. Mm-hmm. And then you find out that and then that person's gone, and that same person is, like, in the next room. It was really cool the way he shot some of those scenes with that. Even the first one, when he wakes up the next day, the very first time that girl's, like, twitching on the couch. Mm-hmm. It's very well shot, and I loved all that stuff. I just wish the payoff had been better at the end.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that one's hit or miss. I think it's free, so you should check it out, but it's probably not going to be, like, the best thing you ever see. What about, I thought it was better than you thought it was, I think. But what is Beelzebuth?
So Beelzebuth is basically a horror movie that was challenged with setting the record for the most children killed in a horror movie.
Oh, because it's the one with Tobin, right? Tobin whatever? Tobin Bell?
Yes, Tobin Bell, yeah. Yes. And so it's basically about, like, you know, you think it's about the birth of the Antichrist.
oh, do I?
Yeah, through, like, I don't know. I'm going to be ruining the movie. I already ruined it just by saying that. But
I mean, I could kind of tell it was probably about the devil, so you're not really, like, protecting
him. No, it's just that, like, usually movies like this, it's about the Antichrist, but it's actually about the rebirth of Christ and demons trying to stop that.
Oh, interesting.
So,
kind of a cool twist.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, they're just basically kind of reenacting, you know, Old Testament, New Testament stuff where, like, kings and stuff start just, like, murdering all firstborn children and all that to try to stop the second coming. And in this case, they're just demon-possessed people that are coming up with really creative ways to kill children and mass homicide incidents. And, like, yeah, that's, like, the first half of the movie or so, and then it turns into a more traditional exorcism type movie, mm-hmm. which I think that's where it kind of went down a little bit, because I thought the beginning was so interesting, because they get this, like, supernatural, like, detective group from the U.S. to, like, help them in Mexico, and, like, the detectives in Mexico solve this crime, like, all these crimes, and, like, where these people are coming from, and what their goal is, and, like, all that stuff I thought was way more interesting, and then when it started to just turn into a regular possession movie, I was like, all right, okay, we've all seen this before.
Okay, so it sounds, like, meh, kind of like Headcount.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it definitely had some pretty good visuals and was pretty well-paced, I thought. So, yeah, I would say it's worth a watch.
All right, and it's on...
If you can handle all the children death.
Shudder, right?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
So, Bloodfest is the movie that I want to talk about last, and it basically has, like, things from all the things we talked about today, because it's like a... What do they call that? Like a... collage of a horror movie. It's got a bunch of stuff in it. It's like a, I don't know, I can't think of words today, but basically Bloodfest is this movie where a kid's trying to go to this big horror convention called Bloodfest, and it's where they've recreated all these horror scenes from movies in this gigantic park, kind of like a convention, but it's like Universal Horror Night, Haunted Horror Nights thing, where they like build sets and horror haunted houses out of like movies. And it turns out the guy running this whole thing like locks everybody in the festival and is trying to kill everybody to create a new horror movie where people actually care about the deaths because people are dying and so on and so forth. There's actually like a lot of decent like storytelling in this movie that I was very surprised to get between all of the like kind of cheesiness of it, which is kind of a really cool part about Bloodfest. But I will warn you, if you watch this movie, be prepared for some of the weirdest, cheesiest stuff you'll ever see in a film. Spoilers ahead, but the first thing right off the bat is they basically have... There's nothing supernatural about this movie at all. It's all based in reality. It's kind of like what you want for the Mortal Kombat movie, but the reality it's based in is one where, like, not... It's like soft science, kind of. They, like, animate the dead by using, like, electro impulses and controlling them, and they create vampires by, like, infecting, like, these Romanian women and sharpening their teeth and infecting them with, like, a disease that makes them crave, like, blood and hate sunlight, and they found this, like, signal that they can push out that's kind of like the movie Signal, where people just go crazy and start rage-virusing on each other, and it's kind of funny because it takes all these tropes and puts them into one movie, but it's pretty interesting, I think, and I think it's worth a watch, and it's kind of one of those meta horror movies that is always fun to sit down and kind of delve into, like You Might Be the Killer or Cabin in the Woods, you know.
How would you compare it to those? Like, was it as self-aware, or was it able to like pull it off as well?
I think so. I don't know if I would call it as... I don't know. For these movies, when you say self-aware, I think of like Deadpool, like we're breaking the fourth wall, but I know that's not what you mean, right?
No, yeah, not necessarily.
It's self-aware, then. It's definitely the same genre of self-awareness, like that, and Scream, and, you know, that kind of stuff is, too, where it knows what it is, and it knows what it can do to surprise you still, you know?
Yeah.
And I would say, like, a lot of people that you like in this movie do may not make it. So, it's kind of like reading Game of Thrones. Don't get too attached to anybody. So I really liked it. Unfortunately, you can only buy it on Amazon right now, or get it with Showtime if you have the Showtime account. But I think it was worth a watch. It's pretty clever. It's got a lot of silly CGI in it too, so be ready for some of that. But it really doesn't kind of detract from anything that badly. It's just I wouldn't expect you to like. There's some cheesy stuff in it, I guess is how I'll end it.
Yeah, it sounds like it would definitely be heading that route for sure, but it does sound like something that I think I would enjoy watching.
Yeah, I definitely think it's probably I know it didn't come out this year, but I wish I would have seen it, because I probably would have put it on my top tens, just because it's like one of those kind of like, it has everything that a horror movie needs in it to be like a traditional like 80s or 90s horror film, you know, not like a new age horror film where you have like that I want to talk about next with Marianne, but this is like a classic kind of goofy, fun, but still fairly violent and kind of scary sometimes horror film. Does that make any sense? It's like the 90s action film of horror film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, do you have a thought? Do you have an idea?
Oh. No, okay. No, it's okay.
So the last thing I want to talk about is I watched the first episode of this new Netflix show. New, I don't know if it's new. Actually, it is. It came out on Friday the 13th last week. And it's a horror show called Marianne. And it's about this author who has to end up going back to her childhood, home, or, city home, and figure some stuff out that's happening. And she's, a horror author, and she writes these stories that are really, really scary, and Marianne's one of the characters in the stories, but turns out they might not just be, a story. And a lot of people are doing the same thing they did for Typewriter in this, where they're, hyping it up, and, of course, Bloody Disgusting has an article on it about, how crazy it is, and I was like, okay, guys, chill out, everybody. And then I went and watched it, and I got creeped out, so I was willing to eat my own words there, because it's actually got some pretty creepy scenes in it, and a lot of them are, things like Intruder, or things like the It scenes, with the old lady, stuff like that where you're just like, this is just unsettling, and I don't enjoy what's happening on screen right now, but I have to watch it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great. I'm looking forward to, giving that a shot, because, as we've discussed before, we're kind of jaded by constantly hyped horror. This is the scariest thing in a decade, and then you watch it and you're like, nope, that was actually incredibly slow. This must have been the scariest thing in a decade for somebody who doesn't watch horror movies and then got tricked into watching it because it was an indie film.
Yeah, and I might be building it up too much even for you, but I'd say, anybody listening, it's, watch it, but don't expect, mind-blowing stuff. It's just there's some really creepy things that happen in it for me, a demon. So, and it's not stuff that, it's not going to make it so you go insane or anything like that. It's not the scariest thing you've ever seen. It's just there's stuff that's unsettling. It's just, you're watching it and you're like, this is, why? Why they do that? So, I'm excited to watch more of it. I'll let you know next week if it's any good, if I end up watching more.
Awesome.
Alright. Well, that's all we have for today, everybody. Thanks for listening. You know all the stuff that we need, so I'm not gonna say it. But come back next time and we'll see you next time.
Oh, fine. Leave the silence for it though. Just leave it there.
Why? It's awkward.
Perfect.
I don't want it.
Perfect.
No, that's more unsettling than Marianne. Alright, bye, peeps.
Bye.